Good day to you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Film Focus, episode 177, The Hopes and Fears for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Welcome to another episode of Film Focus. I'm your host, the Hypersonic 55, and I'm glad that you decided to join me once again for some film-related discussion. And today, we return to my Hopes and Fears series with my hopes and fears for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, the upcoming third film in the trilogy for the live-action CG hybrid versions of the Sonic the Hedgehog video games directed by Jeff Fowler. Now, I know a lot of people were apprehensive about the idea of this film, mostly due to that horrific image that showed up of that lanky humanoid ugly Sonic, which was used to great effect in the Chip and Dale film, by the way. But thankfully, Tyson Hess came along, redesigned the character, and then we got a nice, simple road trip buddy kind of thing, which leaned a little bit into the video game parts, but it was honestly a solid attempt at bringing Sonic to life. But then with the second film, despite some pacing issues and the use of the human characters and an overabundance of horrible license music, that film doubled down on all of the really great elements of the Sonic mythos. We got really cool mythology when it comes to the use of the characters, the use of the Chaos and Master Emerald. We got to see more of Dr. Robotnik doing his thing, the Death Egg Robot and Super Sonic all in one movie, plus Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles fighting together like Sonic heroes. The hype and the post-credits scene, which it's all out there now. We don't need to hide about this anymore. But the fact that the post-credits scene had Shadow teased, oh my god. I have never been more hyped for a post-credits scene in forever. So the lead up to Sonic 3 has only escalated with every snippet of news. And while there's definitely concern in the air, I think the Sonic fandom, for the people that at least like these films, are at an all-time high. With the description of the CinemaCon footage that was shown seeming pretty promising, and now the most recent announcement as of the time of this recording, we have the confirmation after months of speculation and fan casting, Keanu Reeves is going to be Shadow the Hedgehog. And there was that little period in time where Hayden Christensen was attached to the role to the point where on IMDb, his name and face was attached to the character. Even though it was rumored, it seemed almost too good to be true for Star Wars fans. But yeah, Keanu, he's a solid choice. It'll all be about his voice direction, but he did do a pretty good job in Toy Story 4 with the character he played in that. So I'm hopeful. But we'll get into that part a little later as I talk about my hopes and fears. So, as said, this is a hopes and fears episode where I basically talk about my hopes and fears for a upcoming film. So, bear with me. I hope you'll find this interesting and informative. And without further ado, let's jump in. Alright, starting out in the hopes department with my first point, getting a great version of Shadow the Hedgehog. Now, I know despite all of the memes and all of the talk online of how edgy and emo he is, and the fact that he runs around shooting people with guns and rides a motorcycle even though he's faster than any vehicle ever, and also if you're taking into consideration his self-titled video game and some of his appearances in Sonic 06, Shadow does seem like a bit of an extra and silly kind of character. However, when you get past all of the stuff that people say about him on the internet, you'll discover that Shadow the Hedgehog is a pretty cool character. He very much has Vegeta energy for Dragon Ball fans, you know, if you wanted a point of comparison. But basically, he is the mirror opposite of Sonic. But he also has one of the most interesting backstories and character journeys throughout the Sonic games, at least when he was, a more notable part of the games when they were being made. Shadow's backstory is so interesting, and he is a character that is full of a lot of hurt, doubt, trauma, mixed emotions, and seeing how he navigates the world dealing with his past, but also being introduced to Sonic and a bunch of other characters and basically changing his ways is pretty cool. It's a very nice transformation. And plus, he's the definition of cool, man, especially in Sonic Adventure 2 and Sonic Heroes. Those are the portions of the Shadow character that I think works best. I think there are elements of his character that are interesting in his self-titled game from 2005 and Sonic 06, but by that point, I just think it's a little diluted and not nearly as cool as he could be. And I know Shadow has come back periodically in certain appearances in stuff like Sonic Boom and the recent Sonic Prime TV series, but I've only ever seen clips of those. I don't know how well the characterization is, but at least from the stuff I've seen, it doesn't hold a candle to his original appearances, primarily on the Dreamcast and when Sonic Heroes went multi-platform on the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. But my point is, Shadow the Hedgehog is a really cool character, and if they get his characterization right on screen, he will make for a really cool person to interact with Sonic, but also some of the other characters involved. But they have to get that backstory correct, and that leads me into point number two, where we have to have a solid adaptation of Sonic Adventure 2. Now, for a lot of people in the Sonic fandom, Adventure 2 stands in the upper echelon of Sonic video games, not only for the gameplay and its use of multiple characters, but for its story. It has a very involved story that utilizes all of the Sonic cast, but introduces Shadow in this really interesting way where you have so many different themes and dramatic and over the top, super cool and sometimes heartbreaking situations playing out in the game. And it's way more than a lot of Sonic games deal with. And while obviously Sonic games only progressed in the story department after that, where you had more involved plots before you got to the Sonic Colors era, where we reset everything and then made the stories a lot lighter and less dramatic and involved, I think Sonic Adventure 2 as a story is just super cool. The history lesson for the state of the world and how it fits in with Dr. Robotnik, his cousin Maria, and obviously with Shadow the Hedgehog, there is some very dramatic, very painful, and I would say horrific things that happen. Not crazy horrific, but again, for a video game franchise about a hedgehog that runs really fast, it's pretty heavy stuff. And especially looking at how the Sonic films have gone down so far, they are definitely, you know, kid-friendly, made-for-the-family kind of adventures, and there have been moments of heartwarming stuff, but nothing too serious. But Sonic Adventure 2 has a pretty notable element of Shadow's past where someone has a pretty heavy thing happen to them. I don't want to ruin it for certain people who know what it is, but the fact that they have Maria Robotnik cast in this film, and there was a post on social media where I feel like she was in on the joke as well. If you know, you know. How it's going to be portrayed on screen is going to be critical to how well this adaptation works. If they get that element of the film right, okay. I'd be like, okay, you guys got balls, all right. But yeah, Sonic Adventure 2 is a really fun jam, and I just hope that they get the plot elements right. You got a lot of stuff going on with Gunn, the organization that's chasing after Sonic and Shadow and stuff. You also have some stuff going on with the president. You've got the space colony arc. You have all the different characters who come together to do a lot of crazy stuff towards the end of that game. I know, obviously, with this film, we still have a certain amount of characters that haven't been introduced yet, so there are still potential elements flying up in the air as to whether people like Amy and Rouge will show up, whether Gunn will be less of a comedic organization like they were in Sonic 2, the film, and whether they'll get a little bit more serious like the games. Will we have the president involved in this film like he is in the games? So many questions up in the air, but again, you got to get it right. And point three, I've sort of touched upon it in point two, but I want them to lean more into the video game elements. One of the cool things about Sonic 2 for me was seeing how they took the mythology of the Master Emerald and Chaos Emerald and then rejiggered it for the film, but created a more streamlined version of the mythology that made sense within the context of that film, how the echidnas had this war with the owl people and how they were vying for power. It was like an interesting mix of the mythology that you know from the Sonic Adventure games, but then they changed it for the film. You also got to see certain elements of like Labyrinth Zone in the sequence where Sonic was navigating the maze in order to get to the Master Emerald and the shrine where the Master Emerald was held. I was kind of getting a little bit of vibes from the altar that was used in Sonic Adventure, but also like Hidden Palace Zone, while not exactly the same as Hidden Palace Zone, because obviously that has a very different aesthetic, it's very similar in that kind of way. Obviously, Sonic and Knuckles fighting gives you flashbacks to Sonic 3. Actually, before I continue, I should say Sonic 3 and Knuckles, because technically Sonic 3 and Knuckles is a complete game, and you do end up fighting Knuckles on the Knuckles portion of that game. But anyway, I just appreciate the fact that as we went from film to film, we dived a little deeper into the video game elements. So I'm hoping that we'll get to see small and big things from the Sonic Adventure era, especially when it comes to maybe Sonic getting chased by the police. Maybe he'll get like put in handcuffs and he'll escape a helicopter and, you know, skate down the city and we'll get like a little bit of city escape. Maybe Sonic will get incarcerated and he'll get busted out. Will we get to see Prison Island like explode? Will we get to see Dr. Eggman running around the hidden base trying to find information about Shadow the Hedgehog and release him, thinking that he's going to be like this new thing that will help him take over the world? Will we get to see the Space Colony arc? Will we get to see the Eclipse Cannon? Will the Bio Lizard be in there? There's so much to consider. But yeah, obviously they can tap in from any other elements of Sonic as well, because, you know, it won't be just specific to a Sonic Adventure 2, even though that's the core place where they're drawing elements from. You can still borrow things from maybe the 16-bit games, maybe even some stuff from like the more modern era. It all just depends on how they're going to do it, but I just hope that we'll get to see more video game elements incorporated in a really fun and streamlined kind of way. Also, point number four, I want to see awesome action sequences. I feel like each Sonic film has had its moments to have these really fun demonstrations of not only character abilities, but just well-choreographed action scenes. The first film obviously had its slow motion segment where Sonic was running around, messing around with people in that bar that was similar to the Quicksilver slowdown scene from X-Men Days of Future Past. You also have the portion of the film where Sonic was running around throwing his rings, traveling all over the world trying to outrun Eggman, which was pretty cool. I know I just called him Eggman, but, you know, stick with me. It's kind of one of those things that, as a Sonic fan, depending on what era of Sonic you're in, you'll either switch the names, but yeah, we'll go back to Robotnik. In Sonic 2, you had the Sonic and Knuckles fight in the Hidden Temple with the waterfall in the background. You got to see Sonic and Tails go up against the Death Egg robot. You also had Sonic running on the big old ocean, which was so hardcore and kick-ass. The portion of the film where obviously Super Sonic showed up was hype as hell. And also the snowboarding down the massive mountain, which really should have had the Be Wild, Be Cool, Be Groovy music from Sonic Adventure in there. But yeah, with Sonic Adventure 2, there's a lot of really hardcore stuff that happens in there. So I hope that we'll get to see even more cool utilization of character abilities, especially when it comes to Sonic and Shadow probably going head to head because they're super fast characters. Hopefully we'll still get to see a lot of cool things with Knuckles and Tails and possibly get other characters who show up as well. And then we also have point number five, where I still want to see great characterization and character development for the people involved. One of the elements that I think doesn't get talked about as much is how good they've done for Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles. Sonic, I think in his games, didn't really have any plots that really worked for me since the Adventure era. And with this film, turning him into more of a kid slash teenager who's basically growing up and trying to find his feet, for lack of a better term, and realizing that he doesn't have friends in the first film and what he really wants is friends and family. And then the second film is about him wanting to be a hero, but not really having the right tools and the right mindset in the beginning of the film, but then growing to become the hero that he's always wanted to be through trials and tribulations, but also acquiring proper friends who's just like him in the form of Tails and Knuckles. And also seeing Tails, who was obviously a person who was all alone, but really admired Sonic, and then found himself in a situation where he got to hang around with him and then become good mates. Their buddy relationship was one of the most pure, delightful elements of Sonic 2. And the rivalry between Knuckles and Sonic was really cool, how they eventually formed their bond and then became this triforce of happiness. So I need that to continue, but I also want them to grow and develop over the course of this film, see how their interaction with Shadow happen, and see what other human interactions they'll have as well. And finally, point number 6. For the love of God, please, please use the bloody video game music. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. The Mario film, on its first attempt, had the use of the OG music. They got Brian Tyler to work with Koji Kondo to utilize years worth of Mario music, and they were able to utilize it in such a magnificent way. Hearing orchestrated versions of Mario music from the 8-bit days right up until Mario Odyssey was incredible. It's stuff I never thought I would ever hear, but it was magnificent. I wish there was more of it in the film, but unfortunately we had to deal with all that disgusting license music that drowned out the film and had no business being there. Sonic 2 unfortunately had a similar issue with the amount of needle drop music in there that had no reason being there. And Junkie XL, he's a pretty solid composer, but for some reason he's chose to omit the Sonic music from the films in a substantial manner. Let me just say it that way, because Sonic 1 at least had portions of Sonic music utilized. Obviously, during the introduction, you had a small orchestrated portion of the Green Hill music. You also had the use of the Hyper Potion song, which was the opening for Sonic Mania. But beyond that, and the little piano version of Green Hill at the end of Sonic 1, there has been no utilization of any music from the vast array of Sonic soundtracks. You have so much good stuff to utilize from, you know, Sonic 1, 2, 3 and Knuckles, CD, Adventure 1, 2, Bloody Heroes, Unleashed, Colors, Generations, Frontiers now, even pieces of Forces you could even utilize, and Sonic 06 and Shadow the Hedgehog. With this film being in the Adventure 2 era, there is no excuse. And you slightly teased it in the release of the trailer for Sonic 3. There was a tiny portion of Live and Learn, the classic song from Crush 40. And I think even Johnny, the lead vocalist from Crush 40, alluded that he was going to be involved in the new film. If we get to hear Live and Learn in the film, I will internally implode. I will destroy myself. Not intentionally, but it will be happiness destruction, you know? We need that Crush 40 sound, but we also need adventure stuff. We need to hear a little bit of maybe Escape from the City. We need to hear some stuff from Hidden Base, maybe Prison Island. I doubt we'll get to hear any Knuckles rapping in the film, but yo, if they got any of that Hunted P stuff, that would be crazy. But yeah, I would like to hear stuff from the adventure era, maybe utilize some stuff from Sonic 3, maybe even some Heroes or Shadow the Hedgehog material as well. If they could find a way to introduce Westopolis into the film, oh my god, that'd be so hot. Anyway, yeah, please use the video game music. You have a vast array, 30 plus years of Sonic music. Don't be punking out on us. Do the right thing and put the damn music in there. All right, and now we move on to my fears. And my first point for the fears department is actually just something I just talked about. They won't use the bloody video game music. The first film, as I said before, utilized a tiny portion of it, and you assumed with the sequel they would at least expand upon that use of Sonic music, but they didn't. And while Junkie XL's film score for Sonic 2 was okay, it wasn't super memorable, and again, the use of licensed music was just tedious at times. I don't need it. I want my video game music. Please, for the love of man, don't be teasing Crush 40 and not give it to us. We live in an era where Mario did it, and did it incredibly. It's time for you to step up and do the right thing. Point number 2 is also contingent on the music thing again. I'm just fearful that we'll get more licensed music, which just seems to be popping up in a lot of noteworthy big budget blockbuster films. I mean, Godzilla X Kong recently had like some horrible use of licensed music in really unnecessary ways, and I'm like, what is going on? Not everybody needs to be Guardians of the Galaxy, man. those were meticulously done in a way that felt right. And I feel like there's a lot of films that are just trying to borrow that kind of vibe, but utilizing it to poor effect. Save yourself the money and actually just put the bloody video game music in there instead. Also, moving on to point three, getting a botched version of Shadow's backstory. As I said in my hopes department, Shadow's backstory is integral for this thing to work. There are a lot of elements in there that are not so happy and basically formulates Shadow's character. We need to see that demonstrated correctly and done well. And I just don't want it to be botched because it's the whole thing. I'm really hoping that Jeff Fowler, his writers, and everybody involved know what they're doing and they have that whole thing on lock, you know what I mean? And then we have point four, which is the use of the human characters. Now, I know a lot of people before this film came out were hoping for a full-on animated world of Sonic that was, you know, divorced from the human characters because they found that, you know, obviously the track record of having live-action CG hybrid characters hanging around with human characters wasn't the best. But I feel like these films have done a decent job of at least introducing certain characters that have resonated with the fan base, while their utilization in the story, especially when it comes to the plot and pacing, have been brought into question. I still feel like some of these characters can be utilized in the right way. It'll just be about timing. So I really like Tom and Maddie as Sonic's adopted parents. James Marsden and Tika Sumpter are quite fun and charming, and they're inoffensive in terms of their appearances in these films. Natasha Rothwell as Rachel, Maddie's sister, that's where things get a little bit more tricky. I thought she was really fun and sassy in the first film, and she had her moments during the second film, but her character really took away from the momentum of the film with her fake wedding and her driving around to the Barracuda song. I love that song. And certain elements of that scene was kind of funny, but rewatching it again, it really does go on a lot longer than you'd think. So yeah, I still like Rachel and I would like to see her in more of the sequel, but I want her utilization to be correct. And then you have Agent Stone, who's Robotnik's lackey. He is so good. Oh my God. Lee is always posting really fun stuff on Twitter. He's clearly a big fan of the fan base and fans love up whenever he's posting. He's been the highlight of these films. So Agent Stone, he's so great. I can't wait to see what he does in this new film. And then obviously you have a bunch of additional characters who may end up in this film. Obviously you have Maria Robotnik that's going to be in there, but will we see Professor Gerald Robotnik? Will we see the president? There's obviously going to be additional human characters in here, and there's still cast members in this film where they have been added but in undisclosed roles. I'm still curious to see who some of these people are going to play, especially Kristen Ritter. Is she going to be Rouge? Is she going to be Amy? Or is she going to be a human character? Who knows? And finally, point number five, which I think is a valid concern, is having an overcrowded film. When a film reaches a certain level, there is always that hope and desire for the next film to outdo the previous one, not only in terms of entertainment, but also spectacle. And there was talk in a recent news story that I saw on comicbookmovie.com where the producer behind this film said that they wanted to go even harder and bigger than the previous film and want to create a film that's on an Avengers level event. They want to create that kind of spectacle. And that is big aspirations because obviously considering how the Avengers films escalated from the first film to Age of Ultron to Infinity War and then Endgame, they had to do the craziest balancing act of having several characters show up from previous films, all get a right amount of screen time and have a plot that coherently brought them all together. And while Sonic 3 doesn't have that many spinning plates, at the same time, you are bringing in the few human characters that exist from the previous two films, along with Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, the return of Dr. Robotnik, and then Shadow and his history and whatever additional anthropomorphic characters and human characters that come on top of that. I'm going to be very curious about the runtime, how they're going to distribute all of this screen time for everybody to feel like they have their moment in the sun. Everything has to have value, has to be done correctly, essentially. And I just don't want us to get into a scenario where the film feels overstuffed with stuff, you know? So I'm hopeful, I'm fearful, but I just don't want them to throw too much in the film and then just feel like, oh, we have nothing left to give if there is another entry, you know? And yeah, that's my hopes and fears done. I know this episode went on a little bit and I honestly could have talked a lot longer, but I wanted to highlight those specific points because at the end of the day, I am stupidly passionate about Sonic, and these adaptations have done really well for the character's image and morale, especially during some of the darker periods where we had to wait for stuff like Sonic Frontiers to come around to elevate the people's spirits when the games weren't as hot. And I think Fowler, the producer, and the actors involved are all talking and saying the right things. They're all very enthusiastic about this project. They're saying this is the best one yet. You are going to be blown away when you see it. And I know, obviously, that's the kind of talk that you'll always want to give out to fans to hype them up. But I do genuinely believe that they are making their magnum opus right now. And again, if they get this project correct, the feeling of elation in the soul will be indescribable. At least for me anyway. I'm looking forward to seeing this film at the end of the year because it comes out in December, which is an interesting period for a Sonic film to drop because obviously the first one came out on Valentine's Day in 2020. And then in 2022, I believe Sonic came out in April, although we got it early in the tail end of March of 2022. So now I'm very much looking forward to seeing what we get at the end of 2024. It'll be a great Christmas gift to myself. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, with all that being said, now I'll pass it on to you, ladies and gentlemen. What are your hopes and fears for Sonic 3? Do you think it's going to be great? Do you think it's going to be mid? Or do you think it's going to be trash? Whatever your thoughts are, drop them in the comment section below or hit me up on Twitter where I'm at Hypersonic55 or at FilmFocus55. Check out FilmFocus on Instagram as well. And obviously follow the podcast and subscribe on your podcast streaming platform of choice, whether it be SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and all that kind of stuff. So with all that being said, thank you for listening. And as always, look forward to the next episode when it comes out. So until the next time, this is the Hypersonic55 signing out. Peace.